You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, and Brenthurst ranked as a leading boutique wealth manager in South Africa for six consecutive years in the Intellidex Private Bank and Wealth Manager Award. With me from Brenthurst Wealth today is André Besson. And André, you're very keen on expelling some myths. You want to debunk some myths. You want to be a myth buster. What made you think of this? Is it because people keep on making the same mistake over and over again?
Yeah, it's basically, I think, Lindsay, because I hear the same stories a lot of the time, in either in the media, just to when I talk to people. So I thought, let's just put out some commonly accepted principles or commonly accepted ideas or beliefs, and then challenge them. Say, okay, are they really true, or do you believe in them? So up front, I want to say, like, some of this stuff, my opinion is a bit, I don't agree with them, but anybody else is happy, I'm happy to somebody else to disagree. But yeah, I just thought, let's put them to the test and see them from another angle.
Okay, you say the following. You say, we will look at a couple of common misconceptions or things that are commonly accepted but that I don't agree with. And I think, let's make this clear now, you say I, but it probably goes throughout the Brenthurst Wealth team.
Yeah, I think we're very much like-minded, the team at Brenthurst. So obviously, this is the way we build portfolios for people at Brenthurst, but it's obviously my opinion, but a lot of my colleagues would agree with me.
Very good. Well, let's go to the first one now, the first myth, as you call them. Offshore investments are more risky than local ones. I think that has been busted a while ago, but explain why they're not more risky.
Yeah, so even now when I talk to people, I say, let's forget a bit about JSE versus, let's say, the NASDAQ or the S&P 500. When you talk to people and you say to them about some other country they can visit far off, and, everybody gets a bit afraid because they don't know about it. It's not known for them. So in investments or behavioral finance, we call this home bias. You would rather buy something local or have a local holiday than to go to some place you don't know, which is very much unsure that you don't know what you're going to get on the other side. So a lot of the time people, they see Pick and Pay or ShopRite or, you know, a name they know most more about. It's in their faces. And then to buy the stock, it's for them, it's kind of like feel safe. But that's really not true, because if you look at, just because something is familiar to you doesn't mean it's more safe to invest in. So the way I look at it is, I look at what do you actually invest in, irrelevant of where it's listed. If you can understand this company, and then you look at underneath the bonnet and see, is the balance sheet strong of this company, how big is it, then it's that's how you determine if something is risky or not, and the stability of that company to make income in different scenarios. So in South Africa,
You can go on. I was interrupting. Please continue.
So if you look at South Africa, you can't really find a $100 billion company with a very diverse client base and different kind of products and services to sell. You can't find that offshore. So is South Africa really safer just because you know the things you invest in locally, or might it be that something that you're not familiar with on the offshore side, it might even be more safe, in my opinion?
This is my opinion of it, having just listened to you for the last minute or so. And I would say, okay, live in South Africa, shop at Pick and Pay, but invest in Walmart. That's a good theory,
yes,
isn't it?
Correctly. Yeah. So I'll buy my coffee at Mug and Bean or wherever locally, but you can buy Starbucks as a brand. That's it's also a good example.
Very good. Myth number two, American shares are too expensive. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. The market equalizes things over time. And also, the U.S. economy is going into recession, and therefore don't invest in the U.S. That's another myth, isn't it?
Yes, it's a big myth. So if you look at, there's a big difference between Main Street and Wall Street. Main Street being the economy of the United States, and then Wall Street being the stock market of the United States. So a lot of the U.S. companies are global in nature. They don't only make money from the U.S. economy. let's take Visa, for example. They make money in India. You know, there's a lot of different examples I can give. But so the first point is they're not truly just US companies. And the second thing is the US, there's a lot of companies that can still make money even though the economy goes up and down. So technically, a recession is measured like from one period to another if the GDP of that nation goes backwards. But then it will grow again in the future. So just the point, historically, it's been normal for an economy to go into recession every 4 years, once in every 4 years. We haven't seen that in the US, but the point is people haven't seen a recession in a long while, so they think, oh, it's the end of the world if it happens. It's normal. It's like an ecosystem in economy. And so I've been hearing this for a long time now. The US is going into recession, pull out my stocks from one or two clients. But the point is, it's not, you don't need to do that. And the second thing is, yes, shares are expensive in the US, because if you combine the expensive share idea plus the US is going into a recession idea, then you get a very bad toxic cocktail, is what people fear. But that's not also not true. If you look at the US market, the S&P 500, there's only a handful of stocks that really drive that market in expensive territory. Some of them are amazing companies, but they are really expensive. If you strip that out and you look at the rest, let's say the S&P 490.
Yeah.
Actually good value there. There's some very good value, and then there's other companies that's decent value, but they have great businesses. You're not going to pay cheap for them. So in my opinion, if you know what to avoid, you've got great companies still investing at very good prices.
It's very similar to the South African market not at the moment, because the influence of Naspers and Prosus has diminished somewhat. But that's what it used to be like. I mean, if you're in the Aussie top 40, for example, you had to have Naspers and Prosus, but the other ones are sort of trailing behind them, exactly the same as the S&P with the so-called Magnificent Seven. Anyway, I don't want to go on too much about that, because the third point interests me. You say South Africans need to invest locally because their expenses are in South African rand. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I've heard this a couple of times, and the most time I hear it with people that's from an accounting background or an actuarial background. So they would say you should invest in South Africa because your liabilities are here, meaning your expenses, your future expenses. So you can't invest in another currency, because then you have a currency risk and it's just riskier. So have your investments where your liabilities are at the same place. Now, that makes sense in terms of running a business. But if you look at the way you as an investor can look at stuff, is that I think that's a bit foolish to say avoid offshore because you should have stuff here because you're going to retire in South Africa. What if there's more better markets offshore? It's the one point. The second point is, a lot of your expenses are influenced by the dollar, are influenced by global prices. The first thing is the petrol price. The petrol price, we are net importers of oil, South Africa. So whatever the offshore price of oil is, that's what we're going to pay. And oil goes into almost every product or service that you use. And, you know, there's a lot of other expenses like healthcare, lots of the stuff doctors use, and especially if you're on the higher end, are imported, and other, you know, commodity prices. A farmer can export his stuff overseas if he doesn't get the right price in South Africa, if he has a product that is a commodity. So, and in cars, you know, all the cars we drive almost are from overseas, and those of us that has you want to go for overseas holiday, all these stuff are influenced by the US dollar. And so I would argue rather on the other side, it is unhealthy to have all your investment in South Africa. And are your expenses are being influenced by the dollar?
Yeah, the dollar is the dollar, despite everyone every single year saying that the dollar is not going to be the reserve currency, but it still is. We know that. And that has a terribly important impact on South Africa. So that's a point well made, Andre. The final one is the number four of your Mythbusters. You say retired folk need to invest cautiously because they are older and retired. I've always argued it doesn't matter whether you're 25 or 65. Take on risk, because over time, if you look at any sort of graph of any particular risk asset, it's been trending upwards. So embrace risk is my, this is me personally, but I'd like to think what you think.
Yeah, so I agree with the same. Like, if you look at the first risk I want to protect you against is losing all your money. Okay, that's the first point. So if you want to do that, just put everything in money market. But the second thing, over time, you need to protect yourself against inflation risk. And the best way to do that is to own stocks, because a company can pass, if you have a good product to sell or service, and inflation rise, you can pass it on to the consumer. So, and then over time, your share prices will rise. So if you look at it, most of the graphs of equity markets, it will rise over time. The only thing is there's volatility in the short run, but the volatility is the price you pay for the deal you get. And I would argue the reason why I'm actually encouraging people when they grow older, as a lot of people, as they grow older, they get more a bit in their bubble, they get more conservative in thinking. But you as long as you have a 5 to 7 year horizon, you should not worry about whether or not to invest in stocks, because your horizon is long enough for you to set out the bumps in the short run. And people nowadays live 90 years plus as medicine industry has improved. So if you're 70 years old, you actually have a 20-year horizon. You can invest in stocks as long as you understand what you invest in. You know, in stocks are the best way to protect your living standards.
Quite right, too. And of the four that we've just discussed over the last 10 minutes or so, Andre, they're still going to be there. It'll be re-churned over and over again. People will still have these myths in their head because they're told that this is what you should do by people that are in their own sort of little narrow mindset. But unfortunately, it's going to be your job and subsequent to Brentos Wealth Managers in the future to debunk these myths, to bust these myths. And it's good that you do make people aware that certain myths should be swept aside. Thank you very much for your time, as always, Andre. Andre Bassonis from Brentos Wealth. And that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brentos Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.